one and what a difference 6 months makes, or 5 months. That night was where I worked, St John's. They had the May Ball, a time of party, celebration, end of exam. I said I'd much rather be here than there. I agreed to that again this evening.
Just a button, Dave.
Yes, is that right? Yeah, thank you very much, Tim. Nice to know people watching out for me. Shall we turn to God's Word? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, it's lovely when brothers pray, and some of the things mentioned in prayer tonight are what we'll consider. So I really feel the Lord will bless our time this evening. I've been looking at this about a month or so ago, and it's been on my mind what to really bring to you this evening. You know, we, myself and Tim and others, help at a young people's Bible camp. David and Mary have been to that many times as well. And I really want to impress upon the young people today the need to appreciate their Christian faith and make the most of it and live for it. And yet, Corinthians, we would find the Apostle Paul writing to a church to really wake them up. That's what young Christians need today, but tonight we all need maybe a wake-up call from the Lord. You know, Paul was writing to believers in Corinth with a warning to be wise in your faith. So it's lovely that our brother Luke, I believe, was praying about the privileges we have, the blessings we have, and we'll consider that. And we'll go through things as we consider this chapter. It's a large chapter, but I've broken it down into four sections. So we'll read it and we'll seek the Lord's blessing from there. But when I come to speak to people, and it's great to call you friends this evening, but I seek to teach the word of God as the Lord leads me. I want to encourage. We all need encouragement as Christians, young and old, male and female. But more than anything, I want to challenge. I need to be challenged in my faith. We all need to be challenged as to where we are going in our faith. We can be on the road for many years. We can be on the road for a short time. But we still need to be challenged. So let's heed this warning. We have ears to hear. So let's hear what God has to say to us this evening. 1 Corinthians 10, I'll read the chapter from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, then you be disposed to go. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offence, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And the Lord will add the blessing to his precious word this evening. Maybe not a usual chapter that we might open and consider, but there are some sections in here I want to highlight and bring out. And as I said, to encourage, to challenge, to teach. And I got it wrong as I read that. Luke did not mention about privilege. He mentioned about temptation and being able to bear up what we can go through. And we'll get to that. But it was Tim who mentioned about the privileges. And that's where I want to start this evening. We who trust in the Lord are supremely privileged people. Are we not tonight privileged that we are able to be here in freedom and liberty to read the word of God, to pray and profess and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ without any fear of any wrongdoing or imprisonment or punishment? We have, though, although privileged, we have tremendous responsibilities to keep. And we should, as we'll go through this, be aware of temptation. And we must be warned of thinking that we stand well. So I've titled tonight, Privileges, Responsibilities, Balance, and Freedom. This chapter looks at reminding experienced, mature believers to never become overconfident or complacent, that all is well in your standing with Christ. Maybe tonight we're here and we've been on the Christian pathway many, many months, years, etc. And it's easy to be overconfident and complacent, maybe in working life, maybe in family life, maybe in everyday life, but also in Christian things. In the eyes of the Lord, we can get complacent because just remember, we are still weak Christians. The flesh is still within us. We are still liable to stumble, to fall, and so we still need to come and confess sin because he is faithful and just and he will forgive us as long as we stay close to him. So as we go through this, I hope that you'll remember that this was written to mature Christian believers to warn them to be wise in their faith. So let's get down to it. Broken it down into four sections. Verses 1 to 5, we have four examples in this chapter. The first example Paul gives in verses 1 to 5 is the example of Israel. And I've titled that spiritual privilege. Verses 6 to 12, the example of starting and finishing. It's one thing to start, but it's another thing to finish. Spiritual failure. How are we going in our Christian walk? Then from 13 to 22, we'll look at the example of temptation and the table. Spiritual faithfulness. And then 23 to 33, the example of freedom. Spiritual responsibility. We are set free from sin, from bondage, but we are saved with great responsibility to serve him. Verse 12, really, if we to pick a key verse, is really the key for me. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. What greater warning can there tonight than be that? Let him that or she thinks that they stand take heed. Let's open our ears, open our hearts. Let's open everything that we have to receive this word, lest he fall. Don't ever think that you're so strong in yourself that you're not incapable to fall. I know of Christians my age and younger who I've known were saved from the time at camp and from places I've been that are no longer walking with the Lord. Even older than me, people that I've respected, elders in meetings, are now no longer walking with the Lord. So beware. None of us are without that potential to fall away. So take heed tonight, dear brothers and sisters. Listen up, because the devil could be talking and doubting you. Do not be overcontent or satisfied, overconfident, and complacent. So Paul's first example, verses 1 to 5, spiritual privilege. Isn't it great when people in God's word call people brethren? He's including them together, united one to another. And he says here at the very outset, moreover, brethren. You know, brothers and sisters tonight, we are brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where the privilege is tonight. And as we go through this, let us see and notice in these first four verses how many times he writes all. Five times he mentions the word all. All the brethren are included in the church of God. What a privilege that is tonight. Let's really be encouraged tonight that we are so privileged that we are in the church of God, his body. He's great sacrifice for us. We pray for those to be saved, to be added to that number. But let's enjoy our faith this evening. Let's enjoy our Savior that we are included in that. And he does not want these brethren to be ignorant. I would not that you should be ignorant, not aware, lacking the knowledge of these things. Don't be ignorant that we are included in wonderful privilege this evening. So why does he mention these five alls? The example of Israel. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. So what is he meaning here? He's using Israel as an example to highlight the privileges that they had. And if you cast your minds back at the very beginning and outset of the word of God in Exodus, they were delivered out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. All of them. Not some, not 80%, not 99%. All of them were delivered. And they were under the cloud. Not only did God deliver them out of slavery, but he led them by that cloud, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. All were delivered, all were led, all passed through the sea. Now, a few weeks ago, I was speaking about Moses parting the Red Sea. And what a wonderful thing that was that day, to witness the power, the authority of God, to open the sea and all passed through. Not many, not 99%, but all passed through. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. What I'm trying to get at is, all of Israel were supremely privileged because all were saved, all were delivered, all were led, all were taken to where they had to go. And let's be encouraged tonight that we are in that position. We have been delivered. The moment we trusted in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we were delivered. We have been led in our Christian walk. We have been protected. We have been provided. He has done it all. So we do pray for our brothers and sisters in Indonesia, in China, in various places in the world. They're brothers and sisters in Christ just as we are. And we are included with them. But let's take hold of these privileges that we have tonight and do not lack knowledge and be ignorant. What a privilege we're in. And so we focus upon that one who's done it all. The end of verse 4, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That is the one that they were following. That was the one that had done the work for them. And that is the great thing that we've been brought into tonight, that it's not our work. It is not something that we trust in that can hinder or fail or doubt or diminish. We trust in one who is a rock, who is solid, who is secure, who will not fail, who will not falter, who will not let us down. Sadly, many things in life let us down, and even Christians let us down. But we are privileged tonight that we have one who is a spiritual rock that will never, ever let us down. But, verse 5, and this goes into a warning. But with many of them God was not pleased. I've highlighted the times that Paul has mentioned that three-letter word, all. All were delivered, all were saved, all were led, but with many, not all this time, many of them, the greater part, God was not pleased with. So think of the many millions that were delivered and walked through the wilderness and they came to the promised land. Not all went in that promised land. Many were not, God was not pleased with, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Is that not the result of sin? Is that not the result of turning away from God? The complaints, the murmurs, the groans, the complaints to the one who had done the work and delivered them, who had provided for them, who had guided them and given them all they needed, they still complained, they still sinned, they still rejected God, and so God had to judge them. And that's just a warning to us tonight that, yes, we are included in the great all of God's church, of the Lord's church, but we are still prone to sin. We are still prone to wander. We are still prone to go our own way at times. And that is why we need to come back to him. So again, I remind our hearts, do not be complacent and overconfident. And don't just go with the flow. Keep close to the Lord. It's my prayer for young Christians, but it's my prayer for all of us. We don't want to come back maybe next year, God's will. And there's maybe two of us here. Because some either have been called home or some have just chosen not to come anymore. We need to pray one for another that we don't get fallen into that. Even mature Christians, we can still sin. So I want to challenge us lovingly tonight. Do you still trust in God? Do you still trust in the same Lord that you trusted in the moment you were saved? Do you still give your heart and your soul to him? You know, I've been reading through Deuteronomy, and this morning a verse struck me. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. I didn't read anymore. I just read that verse, and I just went over it for 10 minutes. What does that mean to me? Do I love my Lord with all my heart? We pray tonight about open eyes, open ears, open hearts. But do I love him? Truly love him? Remember the privileged position we're in. Do I truly love him today still? With all my heart? With all my soul? With all my might. Israel, sadly, were getting involved in things they shouldn't do, and we'll work through this chapter, but idolatry, fornication, sexual sins, temptations, etc. God had to warn them. God had to judge them. And they were overthrown in the wilderness. Dear friends, tonight, we are supremely privileged people. But listen and look at this example. You know, Paul says these were given unto us as examples, that we might learn from them. Keep near that spiritual rock that is Christ. He won't doubt. We should never doubt. He will never fail us. So that is our first example. The example of Israel. Spiritual privilege. They were privileged and yet they faded away. We are privileged. So may we never fail or fade away. Verses 6 to 12. My second example. Starting and finishing. Spiritual failure. He moves on to this, verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be the idolaters as were some of them. Verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples or ensamples. We look at this and we list these list of sins. And we've already got the beginning, the start of how Israel started that journey. That God had done a tremendous work and delivered them, saved them, guided them, provided for them. And they've started well. Not through their own strength, but through God. And is that not a picture of us as well? When we were saved, it was not down to us. It was not down to me. It was not me who went to the cross. Praise God, it was the Saviour. Because he was the only one who never sinned. And only he could die for me and for you. But look at how they're going. Are they going to finish well? Is there a spiritual decline? Is there spiritual failure? They're getting lost and caught up with things around them. With the Gentile nations as they journeyed and as they were going into the promised land. Idolatry, foreign gods, idols, other things they wanted to worship and bow down to. The Asherah poles and whatever else they went to, Baal. There was fornication, not just common to Israel, but in Corinth. Even in the New Testament, even in this church, it was relevant and prevalent. Paul warns them to look at this example from the past and not to lust after the same things. That's a personal challenge tonight, isn't it? There are things in this world that are easy to entice us, that can open our eyes and can pull us away from the holy things of God. And yet God desires us to be holy and clean and pure. And we need to be praying for ourselves and for each other that, yes, we've started our journey, but hope one day we could finish well. What will the Lord say when he sees us? Will he be able to reward us? Or what will he look at when he sees us face to face? Israel had witnessed God's power and authority to perform great miracles to deliver them. Yet they failed to see the test of temptation in the wilderness. You know, I'm sure each one in this hall tonight can say they're tempted by something. This world is full of things, and the devil is the king of lies and the tempter, and he wants to entice us away. So again, I challenge you, how are you doing today, dear Christian? In 2022, nearly 2023, how are you doing personally? That's between you and God. I don't need to know the answer, but I challenge you because it's good to be answerable to God. How am I doing today? Things can struggle, can't they? If I'm honest, it can be difficult to spend time in prayer, to be on my knees or in my bed alone, to shut the door and just be with the Lord. Yes, I have a wife, I have a daughter, I have a job, I have responsibilities at Rosewood. I'm here tonight. Life is busy. But I remember a dear friend of mine back home in Norwich who did a demonstration for children once about our life being like a plastic box. God is this great big rock, and the things of life are these tiny little stones. And he said, this is our life. If I put all the things of life into this container, the little stones, and then try and fit God in, the lid doesn't shut. But if you empty it and put the big rock God in first, all the other little things fit around it nicely and the lid closes. So the challenge tonight is, where is God? Is God first in your life and everything else fits around it? Or is everything else more important and I'll try and fit God in? Because if you try and fit God in, it will never happen. God has to come first. He is the preeminent one. Amen. If we don't put him first, then what are we doing? If he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. So here is an example tonight. We've started, but how will we finish? You know, experience, it's great to be a Christian and have experience, but we must balance that with caution. We are all going to experience things in life, but who knows what temptations can come our way? None of us are beyond temptation. None of us are beyond trials, sufferings. You know, this year, personally, it's felt like a challenge, one thing after another for me and Joe. But the Lord has been good and we keep going. But you know, we're all guilty, aren't we? We're all guilty sinners. We all struggle. You know, God will deal with that one day for the sin that we've committed. But praise God, he's saved those who have trusted in him. But verse 12, our key verse, as I mentioned, we could look at it as a challenge. We could look at it as a test. Maybe tonight we could look at it as a warning. Wherefore, let him or her that thinketh he stands, take heed lest ye fall. How do you think you're standing tonight? Do you think you're standing well? Oh, I've read my Bible. I could recite verses of scripture. I can stand on a platform and quote entire chapters of God's word. It's one thing knowing it in here, but do you know it in here? And when we speak to people at work or neighbours or with your outreach on this weekend or with the Christmas market, how do you think you stand? You can put on a good show. You can all look at me tonight and think I'm doing well, but only the Lord knows in there. So I really want to challenge us tonight. How are you standing today? Because you need to take heed. I've said there are Christians I know who are younger and older and elders. I know elders who have stood well and are no longer walking with the Lord. Take heed lest you fall. How did you start your Christian walk? It was not your responsibility. It was not your work. It was the work of the Lord. Praise God, because it's a work of grace. But how you live since then and how you finish, that is down to you. So take heed lest you fall. So I want to encourage you, but I want to challenge too. How are you walking with the Lord? So Paul's third example then in this chapter. probably for me the most difficult one to try and open up. But I'll start with the easy bit, verse 13. What a comforting, encouraging, and reassuring verse. You know, I said, there's the challenge, but now for some encouragement. Echoing Brother Luke's prayer, that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, I've taught quite a bit this evening already that we are all prone to temptation, that we all may suffer things that maybe others don't. But God is faithful. God is gracious. God is loving. God does not just save us one day, then leave us to get on with it alone, does he? He doesn't just say, right, I'll give you forgiveness of sin, and I'll leave you to go a little alone, knowing all the temptations and the devil will fire things at us to try and cause us to doubt. No. There is no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. Something that has happened to others before, years and years gone. Yes, we're living in an age of technology and various other things that weren't around years and years ago. But nothing is new today that has never happened before. And remember, the Lord was tempted in every way and yet was found faithful. You know, we can doubt many things. We can worry about many things. We can get caught up and become anxious about many things as Christians. But God will not let us suffer beyond what we can take. And isn't that a mark of how he's faithful to us? He will not let you suffer beyond what you are able. And you know, I'm sure I speak for everyone here tonight. We have all got to points where I just can't take any more. God will push, life can push us and push us and push us and push us and push us to the nth degree. And you think, what is going on? Where is God? But God is faithful. He's holding your hand. He's put his loving arms around you. He's holding you and keeping you. And he won't let you go beyond what you can bear. So this to me is an encouraging verse because it means we are stronger than we know we are. We can cope with things in life because God is able to keep us and hold us. It's not about me, it's about him. He must increase and I must decrease. Isn't that what John could say in John chapter 3? But not only is God faithful that he won't let you suffer beyond your ability, but God makes a way out. There's always a way of escape. There's always an opportunity to get away from the temptation. What does he say? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. So it's not doubting whether God loves us or cares for us. He always gives us a way out. The challenge is, do we take that way out? Or do our eyes still fix on that temptation? So what are we looking at in life? Are we looking at what it is that's tempting us, or are we looking for God? Because God is always there. The Lord never lets us go, and he always helps us and gives us that chance to get out. But are we found faithful? God is faithful. So we can say, am I faithful? Are you faithful? If he gives you a way of escape, are you faithful in keeping to him? I'm never going to be like God. I'm a sinful human creature, but it should be mine and your aim to try and be faithful and to do all we can. If God is providing us a way out, then let's take it. He's given us his son. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit that lives within. He's given us each other. What more do we need to be found faithful? But even more than that, he's faithful. He won't let you suffer beyond your ability. He'll make a way of escape. And then finally it says, that ye may be able to bear it. He offers a way of escape that we might bear it. Temptation can be overwhelming, but we can bear it if we trust in him. Remember verse 4, that say that they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Who are we depending on? Is it all about me, David Brown, that I trust in what I know, what I do, and I can help myself? No. We have the word of God tonight because we need the word of God. We need the Son of God. We need him with everything in life. So if you're challenged and worried and concerned tonight about temptation, then be encouraged by this verse, because God is faithful. What God says, he will do. And if he's faithful, then he'll keep you and he'll hold you, and he's promised to never let you go. So that was what I consider the easy part of this third section. Now, 14 to 22, Paul uses the table of remembrance as an example of what to partake in and how that associates us with Christ in fellowship. Now, it's lovely to think about fellowship with the local believers and with other believers too, that we fellowship with them. But Israel were tempted to partake in food offered to idols. So we thought about idolatry, and now not only are they wanting to worship idols, they want to partake in food offers to idols, therefore giving to them, enjoying them, which again is another sin, and would make them have communion, not just with them, but with demons, with devils, with other things that are not godly and holy. So I don't want to dwell in this too much, because I want to focus on the spiritual things of God and of Christ and that spiritual rock. But we must be careful who we associate with, what we associate with. And remember that we are all susceptible to even things like this. You know, God does teach in the Old Testament to the Jews about what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat, about blood, etc. But that's not for us, is it? The Lord just says, I seek you to be found faithful and to fellowship with the Lord's people. So as you read through this, we can read of the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Isn't it a wonderful thing on a Sunday morning to be gathered with the Lord's people and to share that bread and that wine and to remember the Lord? We have fellowship one with another, but we have fellowship with him. And that is what we should focus on. But there is the warning here about fellowshipping with other things. And so he goes through the sacrificing to devils and not to God. And he does not want them to have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils, he says in verse 21. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils, that we provoke the Lord to jealousy. You know, is he saying, are we stronger than he? The Lord is a jealous God. He's a consuming fire. He wants us for himself. He covets us. He longs for us. So we should have fellowship with him and not the things of the world. There's idolatry that they were into. There's fornication and sexual sins that they were into, both in the Old Testament and in 1 Corinthians. We have no strength of our own to cope with these. That is why we must spend time with the Lord and the Lord's people on a Sunday morning, to focus our attention on Christ and the cross and the resurrection. Now, I don't fully grasp all of these things in this section, but I just want us to heed and listen to his word and to have fellowship with the Son. Keep close to God, be faithful, and he will help you deal with temptation and things that may come our way that we can't cope with on ourselves. How are we doing in our Christian walk and our faith? And so we come to our final section, section number four, Paul's fourth example, verses 23 to 33, the example of freedom. We thought of Israel, we thought how they were saved and yet many sinned. We thought how they started well and yet they were drifting and concerned about how they'd finish. And we thought about temptation and how we can cope with that, because it's all about the Lord and he will keep us. Yes, we thought about privileges. You know, with great privilege comes great responsibility. And so we think about the great freedom we have as Christians. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. John chapter 8. But we have so many responsibilities that we should take hold of. It's not about being saved and I'm okay. We are saved to serve. We are saved to do. How many times have I read in recent weeks, going through Numbers and Deuteronomy, observe and do. Read. Learn, take in, do it. James says, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers also. Let's get on and get hold of these things. So I have three things that we are responsible for to really challenge us again this evening. You know, we would start in verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You know, all things in the world are lawful for me, but not all things are good for me, are they? There are many things that I might be able to do lawfully, but they're not good for me. And we thought of that tonight about temptation and idolatry and various other things, that the law of the land could say one thing, but doesn't mean to say as a Christian I should do them. And they can lead and cause others to sin as well. There's a responsibility in that regard. So what responsibilities do we have in light of this? The first one, verses 23 to 30. We are responsible to our fellow believer, to each other. Let no man seek his own, verse 24, but every man another's wealth. Whatever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not this for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience I say not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Verse 24 really is important. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. It is not the Christian's duty to seek to please self, is it? It is not all about me. It's not only about looking inwardly. And yes, dear friends, there are times to do that. We do need to look inwardly. And I've mentioned that tonight. The Lord knows our heart. And we need to be conscious of that. But this section, all of us have responsibility to each other, to build one another up, to edify, to lift each other spiritually. Now, I come here tonight, dear brothers and sisters, to try and encourage, teach, and help you in your walk as we value some of yourselves coming to us at Roseford. We try and help each other. You know, the Christian life was never meant to be solo. We're in a local assembly to help each other. We support each other as assemblies. Lloyd comes to you Saturday from Bury. We go to Bury, we go to Hellions, we go to Roseford, Edith, wherever. We're not meant to just be ourselves. We are to build each other up, to help each other spiritually and offer support practically, physically. No, there are many of your company who are elderly or unwell or are looking after children. It's not just a man on a platform speaking that is a spiritual work. There are many things that we can do to serve our fellow believer. And this is what he's wanting to share. But these verses deal with food and eating together. So if we're invited to go along, we have responsibility to others around us, to be hospitable, to welcome people in, or to go round each other. It's lovely to spend time with others in their home. And I've learned from our experience at Roseford that you really get to know other believers in the home. You can go on a Sunday morning or a Tuesday night, as we do at Roseford, and you can say, hi, how are you? And it's all a rush and you get home. But you have an afternoon, maybe on a Sunday for lunch, you can chat, you can get to know each other. And you really get to know and have fellowship one with another. And isn't that a joyful thing for brethren to dwell together in unity? To love spending time together. You know, we're free to eat food, as I've said already, as God provides all. But some may struggle with certain things. So we have responsibility to each other. And this section about what is offered to us, we should take and receive. But if there is something that might cause others an offence, then we should be conscious of that. We are responsible for many things to each other as brothers and sisters. So that's our first responsibility to each other. How are we doing in our own local assembly? How are you doing here for each other? And how are you doing for others? We have, I'm sure, family relations in other meetings. We have concerns for them from a personal point of view in families, but also spiritually. So we don't just pray for each other. So-and-so's not well, so-and-so's had a fall, so-and-so. And that's great, and we pray for that. But how are you praying for them spiritually, that they might grow? Are you edifying them? Are you helping them lift them and raise them? So that is the work that myself and Tim and others want to do at camp, to teach and encourage the young Christians to grow and to build up their spiritual life. So help and encourage each other physically, spiritually, in any way that you can do. And that leads to my next point, the second one. Why do we do these things for each other? Verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now maybe a godly brother could stand up here and speak on this one verse for an evening. I don't think I could do that, but it'd be a great listen. Is that not our prime focus and motivation and the ambition of every Christian? young and old, male and female, to do all to the glory of God. And that one day our God we shall see, or his Son we shall see. And don't we want to see him in all his glory and see him face to face, the one who died for you and me? And what a day that will be when my Saviour I shall see. But you know, he was glorified that day of transfiguration when those two godly men stood there and watched. And what a thing it was for those disciples to witness that. But yet one day we shall see the true glory. But while upon earth, until that time we're called home or the Lord has returned, are we truly seeking to bring glory to him? In the things that we say, not just to each other in a meeting, but to the outside world, are we seeking to bring glory to him? In the things that I think, in the things that I do, in my actions, in my working life, the people that I spend a lot of time with during the week, doing jobs, pressure at work, getting things done. My boss has put too much pressure on me, or I have ambitions and deadlines to make. I'm overwhelmed. Am I still seeking to give glory to God in these moments? In all things, we must seek to give him that first place and glory to him. Because remember how we behave around others. They notice that. They see that. And how are we as a witness to them? So we should be encouraging them, not making them stumble. Oh, you call yourself a Christian, but you said so-and-so last week. Where were you last night? Oh, I was at a hall in Hellions Bumstead preaching the word of God. Oh, I was out having a drink and a party, watching the World Cup. Whatever. So what is our aim and purpose in life? Where are we going? What are we doing? Are we bringing glory to the Lord? So that's our second responsibility. The first one, to fellow believers. The second one, and probably the most important one, is to give glory to God. And so finally, the third one. If we thought about those within and we thought about the one above, what about those outside? Verse 33, the very end. Give none offence, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Is that not truly our responsibility to the world? I can't save anybody, but we are all messengers with the greatest message the world can ever know. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so I echo your prayers tonight for your outreach work and pray for us at Roseford too. We all need to pray one for another that we might reach the lost. You know, it saddens me sometimes that we can overcomplicate the gospel, that we can make it hard and difficult and make it too big. But I truly believe in my heart the Lord did the work and he doesn't want to make it hard for people to be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It is as simple as that. If a child, and I was seven, can understand that and be saved, not knowing everything, and still now don't know everything. But if a young child can be saved, then it's not hard. So why do we make it hard? And I think there'll be many accountable to the Lord because of things they've said or not said that have prevented people understanding. It's not about what man says, I agree. It is all the grace of the Lord to be saved. But I just pray that today we don't make the gospel hard for people to understand. So we have a responsibility, a great responsibility, to the outside world, to the lost, to children, to young people, to adults. We're living in an age today where men don't want God. They don't want the Bible. They have no interest in the things of God. They've turned their back. And yet, as mentioned in prayer, we're still living in a day of grace, a day of opportunity. So the Lord has said, not yet, but I believe it will be soon, that that door will be closed. So are we truly praying for people to be saved? Or have we just got so complacent in our Christian walk that it's just what we do? And I'll just prepare a gospel service. So whoever has responsibility, take it seriously. Because people need to be saved or they're going to hell. The world might use it blasphemously, but there is a serious place called hell. And praise God, we're going to heaven. Because the Lord has done the greatest work. So, as I come to a close this evening, some thoughts really of this chapter to really highlight and impress upon my heart and yours, we are supremely privileged, blessed people. As Ephesians would say, blessed with every spiritual blessing. So privileged. Remember Israel, we were like them. We were once far off, in slavery and bondage, but by his grace, we are in the all that we have been delivered. We have been brought through the Red Sea, as it were, and we have been brought one day to the promised land. But we must be careful on our journey. The journey has started the day we were saved, the day Christ went to the cross and died, and we trusted in him, we started. But how are we going? How are we doing? Are we still close to him? Or are we wandering? Are we being tempted to go astray? Are we getting caught up with things of the world, of idolatry, foreign gods, money, wealth? I could list loads of things. The world is a dangerous place. But God has given us his word, the Holy Spirit within, and each other tonight. Take heed how you are standing, lest you fall. But we have a responsibility. We have responsibility to each other. We have responsibility to the Lord. We have responsibility to the lost. We are privileged. We have responsibilities. And we are set free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. You are set free, brothers and sisters. But take these things seriously tonight. I want to challenge you. My wife Jo often says that when I stand on the platform, I like to punch people in the face. Spiritually, I'll just share a very short story to end. I asked her, as myself, Tim, her brother Jonathan Bustard and Andy Rogers, we all used to take part speaking at camp. So I said to her one day, how do you describe us? Because we're all different and we love the fact that we all take it in turns because different people relate to different people. So I'll start with Tim. She said, Tim's very scriptural. He keeps to the book and he goes through it methodically and that's great. But none of these are negative, they're all great. Andy Rogers, very simple, links to the children in a very simple way and it gets the message across. Jonathan, her brother, likes to make them think. Thinks outside the box, goes on a different tangent and does that. So I said, you're my wife, be honest, how do you think I am? You just punch him in the face. You like to make your, but I want to. To the Christian, we need to be challenged. And what's said tonight, ears to hear. We can use that parable of the sower to the gospel, to the lost. But to the Christian, the seed has been sown tonight. Are you going to be like that hard path? It does nothing and it's taken away. Are you going to be like that? The rocky ground where it does penetrate a bit, but there's no root? Are you going to be where there's weeds and thorns come up and there's temptation and conflict? Or are you going to be that good soil that actually takes on board what the Lord has said and grow and thrive for him? I hope tonight's been helpful. I hope it's been challenging and I hope you'll be encouraged because God is faithful. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we just give you thanks for this another wonderful opportunity we have to be so blessed and privileged to open up the precious word of God. And we thank you for the word of God this evening, that it's still living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. We thought of some tremendous blessings and privileges tonight that we have received in you through thy Son, the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to that place of Calvary and suffered and bled and died that we might be saved. Father, we don't appreciate this enough. We don't consider ourselves worthy to ever be able to call upon thee. But we thank you that you have opened up that door of opportunity to be saved. And our Father tonight, may we appreciate the tremendous blessings we have. To know that we have responsibilities to each other, to lift one another up spiritually, to teach, to encourage, to support, to pray for the elderly folk, to those who are ill and suffering. And we pray for Rosina again tonight and commit her to thee and our brother Mike, that you'll bless them and keep them in the coming days and bring goodness in their health, we ask. But you just pray for the younger members of this assembly and bless them, help them to think about how they're standing and growing and that they might grow to be something for you in this land or somewhere else. We just pray that they'll be faithful to you. We've considered your faithfulness and we thank you that you are a faithful God, that you what you say you do, what you have promised you will keep, and that one day you've said you're coming. And we look forward to that day. What a wonderful day that will be, where my Saviour I shall see. So our Father, we just commit this evening to thee and pray that we'll take these things on board. Encourage us, teach us, challenge us, we pray. Keep us safe now as we travel to our homes and be with us until we are able to meet again. Bless the work here at Hellions, we ask, and help them in the outreach, we pray, as we commit them to thee in the Saviour's precious and worthy name.
Amen.